Amen. Thank you.
I hope he's your friend today. I'll tell you what, you can't have a better friend than the Lord Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 9. What a powerful passage of Scripture this is. And I trust that we'll get through. I've got so much stuff. I'm excited about this. I want to talk to you about the little phrase in verse 15. He is a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel. Of course, Acts chapter 9 has many, many, just a lot of different messages that are within that. But a chosen vessel is what I want to talk to you about. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching. Thank you for all the music. And thank you for everyone who is here. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Give us what we need today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, we have in verse 19, one of my favorite verses, which is one of the reasons why I'm not a vegetarian. It says, when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And, it's one of those days, huh? All right, that's fine. Now I know where we're coming from. I understand you're grumpy and grouchy and all that. So, yes, I love that. And there are several verses like that I choose, pick and choose, according to what I'm hungry for. And this is an amazing passage. Honestly, I love this because Saul, who eventually becomes Paul, and everybody's heard of the Apostle Paul and all the great things that he did in winning people to Christ and preaching and starting churches and just a tremendous, tremendous apostle. In fact, one of my heroes in all the Bible is the Apostle Paul. But before he got saved, he was known as Saul. And before he got saved, he was a very wicked man, and he did some very wicked things. And in fact, the truth of the matter is, and look over, if you would, at Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, and we'll just kind of look at the Apostle Paul so we can understand the different verses we're looking at. Saul was consenting unto his death, and this is talking about Stephen. Stephen, of course, had preached the Bible. And Saul was a leader who was against Christianity, and he was persecuting the Christians. And just like our church is meeting here, it would have been Saul's job to come in and disrupt our service, take many people off to jail, have some of them killed. And as Stephen was killed here in Acts chapter 7, it says in chapter 8, Saul was consenting unto his death. In other words, he was the one that gave the order. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. So, again, Christian people are very sad. Stephen's been killed. But here was Saul. Saul was the one that gave the order. And look what it says. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And so Saul, that was his job. As Acts chapter 9 starts, he is on his way. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, talking about Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And so he goes to the priest, he gets the letters, the authority that he needs to take Christians out of their churches, away from their parents, away from their families, whatever it took. He was terrible. He was persecuting the Christians in that day. And of course, you know the story, how that he goes on and he gets saved in Acts chapter 9, the next verses, and he trusts the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But the thing I want to call your attention to is Ananias. Ananias, in verse 13, it says, when Jesus tells Ananias, hey, look, I want you to go and lay hands on Saul and ordain him into the ministry and lead him to where he needs to go and to serve the Lord. And Ananias, he is not excited about that at all. I mean, here's Saul. He's gone into church after church after church. He's hauled the people off to jail. He's had people killed. Stephen's been killed. And Jesus comes and he says, hey, Ananias, I want you to go find Saul and be a blessing to him. Oh. And Ananias says, wait a minute. He said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. I mean, he says, you know, I'm not real excited about this. And he said, here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. I mean, you know, Lord, are you wanting me to die today or what? Well, the Bible says also in verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Everybody's nervous about Saul. I mean, could you imagine if there were somebody in America that was going around and killing people and I mean just putting people in prison and doing it in Christian churches? And we heard that the Baptist church over there and a Baptist church in another town, and then I get up and announce, hey, guess who's here, folks? It's that guy. I mean, would you show up? And then I would say, Brother Hawkins, you guys are having him over for dinner. And Brother Hawkins would say, oh, Pastor, we're going to be sick that day. No, he would never do that. I'm just saying, it was a very difficult time. It was a very difficult place. But the thing that I love is what Jesus says to Ananias in verse 15. Ananias has come up with, you know, all these, hey, don't you know that this man has killed people? Don't you know this man has closed down churches? Don't you know what all this man's done? I mean, this guy has been a heathen. He's been wicked. He's been vile. He's done all these bad things. He's persecuted the church. And I love what Jesus says. Boy, do not miss it. Verse 15, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. What? The murderer? He is a chosen vessel unto me. You mean this guy that has persecuted the church? He is a chosen vessel unto me. And I read that and I think, you know what? If God could use him, he might could use me. Amen. I mean, I read that and I think if God could use him, he probably could use you. Well, I don't think anybody in here has murdered anyone. Paul did, but God said he is a chosen vessel, chosen vessel. If you were to go through the book of Hebrews, and especially you come to Hebrews chapter 11, I think you'd be amazed at the names of people that God used. And in fact, in Hebrews 11, we often call that the hall of faith. These are people that really believed God, really trusted God. But guess what? Their story before they got saved, it's not a real good story. And in fact, after they got saved, some of them actually, I know you're not going to believe this, they sinned. But then God used them. I read Hebrews 11 and I think, wow, if God could use them as a vessel and that God would actually choose them, I guess God could probably do something with this old guy. Amen. No matter what they've done, God's able to clean them up and use them. No matter what you've done, God's able to clean you up and use you. Isn't that awesome? That's an amazing thing to me. The first five books of the Bible, we call that the Pentateuch, tells us about the creation, the flood, the patriarchs, tells about the Passover. I mean, these are stories we preach on all the time. We get the Ten Commandments out of there, the story of the tabernacle, the wilderness wanderings, all the different things. Much of 6,000 years of history since the Garden of Eden. And God used a man named Moses to pen those words. Moses, who was a murderer. Amen. I mean, if God could use him and choose him, could he also choose somebody here who's never murdered anyone? You know, the thing is, some people here might protest the use of Moses. You might not necessarily want Moses to come over for dinner. You might not necessarily be excited about Paul coming over. Do you understand? 14 of the 26 books of the New Testament were written by one man. That was Paul, who we've already read about what his life was like. Do you realize that most of the Psalms were written by David, who also was a murderer? Are you listening? You starting to get the picture here? I mean, if God would choose these vessels, couldn't he also choose these vessels? I mean, if God, and I'm not talking about God using them in a little way. God used them in a great way. First book of the New Testament, Matthew. We all know, because we studied the apostles not long ago, he was a publican, he was a cheater, he was a thief. He ripped people off all the time. I mean, do you understand? We would be very, very concerned about Matthew being important in the church. We'd be real concerned. We'd have a hard time. Pastor, do you really think we ought to elect Matthew as a deacon? I mean, Pastor, do you really think that Matthew ought to be an assistant pastor here? I mean, Pastor, do you really think that, I mean, that guy has ripped people off. He cheated people. I mean, his past is not, you know what? God's not really interested in your past. God's pretty interested in saving your soul. And once you're saved, God's interested in giving you a future. And God will choose you. He'll use you for His honor and His glory. And by the way, He gets the glory when He uses people like that. I mean, seriously, you look at Moses and you say, well, I've always heard Moses a pretty good guy, but he wasn't always a pretty good guy. And I've always thought that Paul was a pretty good guy, but he wasn't always a pretty good guy. And I thought Matthew, he's a pretty good guy, but he wasn't always a pretty good guy. Hey, would you vote for any of them to be a deacon here at our church?
Hey,
who did Jesus appear to first after the resurrection? Huh? You know, you ought to read your Bible every now and then. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, who used to be a harlot. Isn't that awesome? I have a good time on this stuff. I really do. I love it. About time we start thinking we're something special, you know, and we start thinking, well, you know, I'm above all this stuff. Look who God used. Look who God chose. God chose vessels that had really been in all kinds of trouble. And He chose vessels that before He got a hold of them, they were dirty vessels. They were nasty vessels. But once God gets a hold of your life and He cleans you up, you can be used. You can be used for God's glory, as these were. In Hebrews 11, the Bible tells us about Rahab. She's in Hebrews 11. I mean, I'm talking about with all the hall of faith, here is Rahab, who was a harlot. Boy, there's sometimes I like it when it's quiet. This is one of those times. Well, that's all right. It was quiet for a second. There go the flowers again. We got to do something about that. Well, quit. I'm not quitting the way I preach. So we'll have to nail the flowers down or something, or put super glue or something there. But anyway, don't worry about them. It'll be all right. During the invitation, you can get them and get right with God while you're there. All right. You know, it's amazing. I mean, here we've just mentioned two harlots. I'm talking about two. I'm not pulling any punches here. They were harlots. They were wicked women, but God saved them. Are you listening? God got a hold of their lives. God changed their lives. God can do that for you too. Oh, you sit here today and you say, well, I'm too bad. I can't do anything for God. You can do anything for God. We sit here and we say, well, I'm nowhere near like Paul. No, you probably aren't. You probably didn't kill anybody. Well, preacher, I don't have the ability of Moses. No, you probably never have killed anyone. Listen to me. You've got it all wrong. They were wicked and vile before God got a hold of them. God changed their lives, and God can do the same thing for you and I. Doesn't matter what you've done. God is in the changing business. Amen? God is in the changing. God wants to change our lives. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means they're brand new. Amen? That means if Rahab was a harlot, she's not anymore. If Mary Magdalene was a harlot, she's not anymore. Hey, God gave her new life. He gave her a new destination. She's going to heaven. And God will do that for you if you're not saved today. But if you are saved, you ought to get excited. Because God can use you. Boy, that's exciting to me. He's in the changing business, amen? So that He can choose us. So that He can choose us to use us. What a blessing that is. It's amazing how we become critical of each other. Amen? I mean, really, what is there to criticize? We can be a chosen vessel. We can be used by God Almighty. And if God will choose these, surely He would choose somebody here. Surely he could choose you. You could teach a Sunday school class. You could be a bus captain. You could tell others about Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing how we sell ourselves short when we look at who God has used in the past? Why couldn't God use you? Why wouldn't God choose you? First, you need to be saved. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, then God can reach down and change your whole life and use you to do something great for Him. I mean, you know, I was as a teenager, I was as wicked as anybody. I was as on my way to hell as anybody could be on their way to hell. Cussed and swore. I made up some of the cuss words you use today. I'm serious. I think I had my own dictionary. I was wicked. My heart was wicked. My mind was wicked. Everything about me was wicked. Played rock in a little rock group and was on my way to living a very, very wicked life until God saved me and God changed me. My old friends cannot believe to this day that I pastor a church. My old friends didn't even know who I was when I got my hair cut. My old friends had no idea what I looked like. They didn't know what my ears looked like for years. My old friends were used to seeing me with peace signs on my shirts. Hey, the old friend, they don't understand. A tie? A suit? Who is this guy? He's somebody God changed. He's a vessel that God said, I want to use that vessel. I'll clean up that vessel. And once that vessel gets cleaned up, I can pick that vessel up and I can use that vessel for my honor, for my glory. And God can do the same thing for you. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? I think about old... in Hebrews 11, it mentions Noah. And we know about Noah, and Noah built the ark and all that kind of stuff. And he preached to people while he was building the ark. But you know what? One time he got drunk. Yeah, Noah. But you know what? God can use him. God can, you say, I got problems with drink. God can use you, huh? God chose Noah to use him. Hey, whatever it is today. My Bible says in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And God can do that. Man can't do it. God can. God can. That's exciting to me in Hebrews 11. By the way, if men may cast you aside and think you're worthless, God can always use someone. God can always clean people up. God can always change somebody's life. We go to the prison and we preach to people who've done all kinds of wicked things. God can still use them. I got a fellow I write to and he writes back and this man committed murder. But he's gotten saved since then. Now, you might not have him over to your house. You might not be excited about him. But you know what? He's going to be in prison the rest of his life. And I tell him as I write my letters, hey, let God use you now. What would you tell him? Well, you can just rot there. Listen to me. That's how we look at each other sometimes. We need to understand that's who God uses. He doesn't have anything else to use. Amen. Abraham. Hebrews 11 again. Abraham is mentioned. When the famine came, he went to Egypt. We just preached about this the other day. He followed the money, you know, and he went into a wicked place and he got involved with some immorality with Hagar, his handmaid. You say, oh, boy, that's a wicked thing. I can't believe it. And God deals with sin and God punishes sin. But it's not a life sentence. Are you listening? It's not a life sentence. Well, so-and-so did this, but so-and-so got saved, and so-and-so can still be used by God. You know, it's not our God that has problem forgiving. It's you. It's us. We're the ones that have trouble forgiving. We're the ones that have trouble. Well, I know so-and-so. Yeah, they used to stand down at the corner and smoke dope all the time. I notice they've been coming to church. You ought to pray for them. You ought to rejoice with them. If they get baptized, you ought to shout, hallelujah, glory to God, and be glad that God can change their life. Were it not the grace of God, how many here would be in jail? How many here would be in prison? How many lives would be a mess? How many divorces would there be? How many people would be in all kinds of trouble, sorrow? Some would have killed themselves. Glory to God. I'm saved today. He changed me and He chose me. And He can do that with you too if you just let Him. You got to let Him. That's the whole thing. Amen. God punishes sin, but it's not a life sentence. Huh? And God used Abraham in a great way. Great way. What a blessing. How many times do we tell the story about our basketball team. And played three quarters in 2 years ago in the state championship, played three quarters, and we were getting beat bad, down by 18 points for three quarters. The end of the third quarter, a lot of people left. Yeah, you know what? I wanted to. And Kelvin was doing an excellent job chewing the refs out. I still can't believe he did what he did. But anyway, you know what? After three quarters in the end of the game, hello. You look at people because three quarters are over and they're behind. You look at folks because they played the first half and they're losing. You look at folks and we're so quick to judge. Well, yeah, but look what they've done. Fully on all that stuff. I'm looking at what they can do. You ought to get excited about what somebody can do, not what they've done. You ought to get excited about what they can do instead of looking at their past and saying, oh, look at this back here. Whoa, that's pretty bad. That's what they did with Paul. I guarantee there were folks that he'll never make it. He'll never make it. Oh, Saul, I can't believe that. He's a Christian now. Pastor thinks I'm having him over. He's nuts. Pastor thinks I'm gonna entertain him for you. You got to be kidding. We're not taking him out to eat. No way. Pastor, you get somebody else, take him out to eat. Don't want to be around him. Oh, yeah. A couple years later, you want him to sign your Bible, wouldn't you? Hello? That's right. I know it's right, man. The flowers are already down, so I can get wound up. Huh? I'm just saying, you know what? I mean, does the blood cover the sin or not? Does it take away the sin or doesn't it? Is the sin gone or is it not gone? It is in his eyes. Why isn't it in our eyes? You know, we'll look at it. I don't trust you. Well, glory to God. You know what? I promise you this. If you'd have known me when I was 17 years old, you wouldn't have trusted me either. I still don't. It's because your heart's not right. Amen. I'm looking around. I'm just looking at a bunch of sinners. Honestly, because a lot of you, I know your past. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God doesn't even pay attention to that anymore? Because when you got saved, you said, forgive me, and he did, and it's gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They're just gone. I mean, it's just gone. Brother Collins and I were talking about this before the service. And he said, isn't that something? You know, God, he forgets about our sin. He doesn't even remember our sin. You come to God and you say, oh, God, you know, remember when I was a teenager and I did this? And God says, no, I don't know anything about that. I don't know what you did. Isn't that wonderful? Now the neighbors knew what I did. They probably still remember. But he doesn't. Isn't that wonderful? Well, why don't you tell your face it's wonderful? Good night in the morning. We ought to get excited. You know, you go through and you look in the Bible. Hebrews 11, Jacob, who was a deceiver. That's what the name means, Jacob. He was a deceiver. He was out of God's will for 20 years.
Pastor, would you let Jacob teach Sunday school here?
Well, sure, because he got right with God.
Yeah, but for 20 years he was wicked.
Uh-huh, but he got right with God. And the sin was covered by the blood. It was removed by the blood. There isn't any sin. God doesn't remember it. Why should I? Hello. Samson's there. You know what he did. I mean, I just preached about that too. He went down. He just kept going down. His whole life went down. Finally, in the end, I mean, he did a good thing, but the only way he did that good thing is because God used him. Are you listening? I mean, he did a lot of bad things, but he gave his life back to God, and God used him. And we're talking about David and Moses and Rahab and Abraham and Samson and Jacob and all these different people. God chose to use them. They were chosen vessels by God.
So I'd have passed over him. Yeah, and you'd have missed out.
Amen. Second book of the New Testament, written by a fellow named John Mark. It's called Mark. Who's he? He was a quitter. He was a quitter. You're here today and you say, oh, you know, I quit for a long time. Well, glory to God, I'm glad you're back. Now get back and get busy and God will use you. Wouldn't it be great to be used by God? I mean, isn't that the greatest thing that could possibly happen is that we could be used by God But there, again, there was a quitter. And God gave him a second chance. And God gives second, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth chances, and seventh, and eighth, and ninth. And he just keeps giving us more and more opportunities. Because you know what? There isn't a perfect person in this house. Not one. Not one. Amen. We know the story of, what one of the great revivals in John chapter 4. Brother Hawkins taught on John chapter 4. One of the greatest revivals in all the Bible was started by the Samaritan woman. Really? Now, she wasn't the preacher. She just got things started. She started telling everybody about Jesus. But you know what? That was a woman who was five times married and living with a man at the time when Jesus talked to her.
Well, we're against that.
Well, I understand we're against that, but we're always for people getting right. We're against how you live, too. We're against how we all live. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not for sin. We don't cheer for sin. We don't like sin. But I'm going to tell you something. We like people getting right. We like people getting saved. We like people getting their heart right. And we like people giving their life to God. And here's a woman said, wow, this guy, woo, this Jesus, I'll tell you, he's something special. And you know what? You can't even smile when you sing about Jesus. Hello. Gets quiet. Hello. But the greatest revival ever. I'm having fun, Brother Hawkins. Can you tell? That's because I spent Sunday school with the shepherds. We had a good time. We really did. They wore me out. But not quite enough. I got a new bit of strength. Greatest revival ever. Guess who preached? Anybody know? A backslidden preacher. You're thinking, yeah, like the one we're listening to now. But greatest revival ever. Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh. He did everything he could not to go. Backslidden as he could be. I mean, the whale. Oh, Sunday morning. Spit. No, we're not going to do the King James upeth chucketh. The whale spewed. Sunday morning, we got to use more dignified terminology. Spewed him forth. Now, in the spewage, let her rip. That was pretty funny. In that process, when he goes to preach, he doesn't have on a suit and tie. He has on the result of his backslidden condition. Are you listening? And as it very, 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 very adequately says in the King James talking about Lazarus, certainly by now he stinketh. Oh, did he stinketh when he got up to preach that revival. But he's backslidden as he could be. Even when everybody got saved, he still wanted them all to die. He still was backslidden. But you know, somewhere along the line, he got right with God. God used him. You know, I'm not advocating sin. I preach hard against sin. And God hates sin, and we know that. But his son died on the cross to save sinners so we could be different. His son died on the cross to save sinners and to salvage our lives so that he could use us, so he could choose us. In the New Testament, a fellow's preaching, 3,000 people are going to get saved. You know who that was? That was Peter. And 50 days before that, he was cursing God. Hello. And 50 days before that, he was denying Christ. Dr. Bob Jones said, God doesn't have anything but crooked sticks to use. That's all he's got. Just crooked sticks. Three murderers wrote 40% of the Bible. Isn't that something? When the woman was caught in the act of adultery, I love this too. What happened? Well, the little gossip line got together and all talked to each other about it, which is absolutely out of hell. I said that's absolutely, positively, no doubt about it, out of hell. Amen. There is no reason for that ever to take place. Ever. Amen. Amen. There's no reason for that. But anyway, so the little group all got together, which didn't need to be a little group. It should have just been the first one, the only one. And anyway, we won't get into all that. But But here's what Jesus did, and I love this. I absolutely love this story. Jesus bent down and started writing in the dirt. I don't know what he wrote, but I'm anxious when I get to heaven. I want to watch the DVD. Or by then, who knows what it's going to be. But I'm anxious to find out. I'll just ask him, I guess. Wonder what he wrote. In my mind, I think he started to write. Maybe he wrote lying, cheating, stealing, gossip. Maybe he wrote their names. Flavius, lying, Porcius, what a name, pornography. Hello. Then after he wrote all that stuff down, this little group was all standing there and they're seeing all that and they're sweating. This is how I see it. They're wiping their brows. And he says, all right, now, he says, which one of you is without sin? Whoever that is, you throw the first stone at her. Don't you love it? I love it. Boy, it just takes away from your gossip, doesn't it? When you start to be asked the question, do you ever sin? Okay, you can't throw a stone until you are without sin. Hello? That's how it was when Jesus said that. All right, who's going to throw the first stone? The Bible says they all took off. Every one of them left. Every one of them. And he said to the woman, sin no more. Sin no more. That's what he always says. That's what he always says. Jesus died for all sin. He died just as much for this woman's act of adultery as he did for your bitterness. Amen. He died just as much for murder as he did for your gossip. He died just as much for stealing as he died for hatred. They're all just as bad. Christians, just like Ananias, I can just, well, we've heard this guy's a killer. We've heard this guy's wicked. He's a heathen. We heard this guy, he's a sinner. You want me to go? Yeah, yeah. Yes, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Jesus said, I'd rather someone have a bad past but a good now than to have a good past and a bad now. Amen. Is it their forgiveness? Will God choose anyone? Sure he will. You know, Jesus nailed the Pharisees over and over and over and over again because of their critical spirit toward sinners. As if they weren't sinners. And the Pharisees would blab their poison and condemn everybody. But you know, God's grace is sufficient for any person. No matter what you've done. No, I'm not interested in your past. I'm interested in your future. I'm interested in what would you let God do with your life. Were it not for God's grace, there in this room, there are former alcoholics, drug addicts, drug pushers, criminals, thieves, liars, you name it. Everything's represented right here. I'm just absolutely thrilled that God saves. And God changes lives. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's why we go soul winning. That's why we run a bus route. That's why we have Reformers Unanimous, to let people know that Jesus came to save sinners. And sinner, Jesus will save you if you've never been saved. And God will choose you, in case you didn't realize that. People need to quit judging. Quit being like Ananias was here. And by the way, I admire Ananias because he was not sure about this thing, but he did exactly what the Lord said. And we need to do exactly what the Lord says too, and we need to accept everybody and anybody and praise God that they came. And praise God that God will choose them. God will choose them to do His will. And He'll choose you. If you're not right with God today, get right with God. If you're not saved today, get saved today. If you're here and you've been judgmental toward other people, then you need to get right with the Lord too. Let me close with this, 2 Timothy 2. And it is so important. I was thinking about this this chosen vessel. And I was thinking about vessels, and I use this illustration all the time. But in verse 20, 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, it talks about this. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And I thought about the illustration I use all the time about a clean glass. I mean, if you look at your shelf and you have a clean glass, and next to it is a dirty glass, which glass are you going to choose? You're going to choose a clean glass. You go to buffets. In fact, Brother Kelvin, he has partial ownership of Golden Corral in Toledo. Well, he should. I don't think they recognize that. They just recognize him. And you go there. Hey, Kelvin, how's it going? Everybody, hey, Kelvin, hey, there's old Kelvin. Boy, good to have you, Kelvin. Kelvin, here's your table here, and here we'll bring you everything you need. They know exactly what he wants, know everything about him, and because he's there all the time. But you go to places like that, and here's a plate, and there's a stack of plates, and I'll watch people. They'll look at one plate, and they'll say, there's a little chunk of crud over here on the side. They'll set that over the side, and they'll look at the plate again, and there's a little bit of red stuff over here, and they'll set that over there. And finally, are you hungry? And it's just food, folks. No big deal. Let your food mix together. It's not a problem. But anyway, finally, they'll find a clean plate, and that's the plate they'll take. You know? And you look, and that's what we always do. We're going to take that clean vessel. That's what God's interested in too. To be used, God wants you to be just, He just wants you to be clean. You know, that's who He chose. Here's Paul. Once he got saved, everything's clean. He starts all over. Isn't that wonderful? And do you know that when you get saved, everything starts over? And do you know that when you ask God to forgive you, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that should happen often in our lives, because we're not perfect. I'll close with this illustration. When we were in Flint, I pastored at the Landmark Baptist Church there in Flint. And for a period of time, we had to rent a banquet hall. And I remember, Brother Chase remembers those days as when he would visit. And we had to rent this banquet hall. And that means that on Sunday morning, very, very early, we had to come and set everything up. Now, they had people cleaning the banquet hall in the middle of the night for the activities that happened, for example, on Friday or Saturday. And I mean, we had to share this banquet hall because it was being rented out. And I'll never forget one time we came in on Sunday morning early to set up all of our chairs and everything. And there had been a wild party the night before, all night, Saturday night. They had just finished cleaning. And I remember walking in. And by the way, we used the same area that where they had the dance floor. And right there, our altar was right there. We would set up chairs and set everything up, had a little platform we'd bring in. And I mean, our altar was right there in the middle of the dance floor. And I mean, it was interesting. We had to set everything up. But I remember walking in that Sunday morning, and I said, what is that smell? And I mean, it was nasty. And I looked, and right here at the altar, there was this, it was a wet spot. I mean, it was a big area. And somebody had spilled their beer. And I'm getting ready to preach under the influence of alcohol. No. But the alcohol was, I mean, it was right there at the altar. And I mean, we got water. We did everything we could. Why? Because that building had been used for wickedness the night before. But the same building, once we cleaned it up, was used for people to get saved. I'm just saying, this body was used for wickedness for a lot of years. But this same body has been used by God for righteousness. And you know what? Yours can be too. It can be too. Let's bow our heads, please.